It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 560. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. Let me say that again. It's 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. And the wiki is back up and running, and thanks to Barb for doing a fabulous job, and Winston. They figured out it was a PHP problem and got everything updated, and I really appreciate all that work. And the wiki is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the show notes, information about the Mike Tech Show. It's a great resource, and I really appreciate all the hard work that goes into keeping that up and running. I have jam-packed show. The beginning, I'm going to talk about a few Apple updates and some things that's happening with iOS and the OS X update, because I'm in that world. I'm in that mixed world where I support Apple products and I support Macs and I support the iPhones. Before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show podcast. You hear me talk about Instant House Call every week. You have to give it a try. If you are in a position where you have to support remotely anybody for any reason, this is the software you need, because you not only can do unattended mode, you can record your session, you can remotely fix the system. It's the most complete and reliable remote support software that's out there. You got to give it a try. Go to instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. It's for 15 days. And don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Or you can just click on the link on the left-hand side of my website, miketechshow.com. Give it a try. Kick the tires. Test it out. And then you'll be back to subscribe to the service. It's well worth it. Take the time. Test it out. Last Friday, I received my iPhone 6S via the mail, and I was kind of bummed. I wanted to work on it early, but FedEx didn't bring it till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I got my phone, and I had already backed up everything on my existing iPhone 6, backed it up to iCloud, and once I knew I had everything backed up and everything's perfect, it's easy to just start a restore on the phone. Interesting, the instructions for me were to go online to do the activation. And maybe there was a problem with online activation, but every time I typed the numbers, and they were correct, the two numbers that you have to take off the box and put them in, it would not activate. I had to dial the phone number and do a phone activation, and it was very fast, very efficient, and worked right away. I was very happy with my activation after it was done, and then I started the restore from iCloud. That takes a few minutes, even with my bandwidth on my existing Wi-Fi here. That still took some time. As a matter of fact, the phone heated up because all those apps downloading, and then the difficult thing, I have 7 email accounts, so I had to remember all my email passwords. That took forever because I still don't have the restore, and as a matter of fact, this was a tip from Winston a while back on using Keychain. Even having Keychain activated to be able to do the restore of the passwords, they did not restore my email passwords. So a couple of them I had to go digging and look up because I haven't changed it in so long because they're Exchange hosted email accounts for clients. I have a couple of clients where I have to have an email account on their system. Everything went fine. Upgrade was great. I noticed that right before the update, before the phones were put into everybody's hands, Apple released 9.01. So the week before the phone was released, they released iOS 9.0. Of course, I upgraded my phone right away to see, make sure everything was fine and everything's working great. Then the day the iPhone came out, they released a 9.01. It was released a couple days before 9.01, but it's interesting. My phone came with 9.0, so I had to do an update to 9.01. And now today, as I record this show, 9.02 is released. So there's fixes that consistently coming out. Here's the bottom line for me on the phone. The 6S is fine. I'm on an AT&T Next plan. That means I lease my phone forever. I get a new phone every year, and all I got to do is hand in the old phone and send that back. Now, I need the latest, greatest iPhone. I was talking about this in the pre-show. My clients, my business clients, the owners of those businesses are all in an Apple ecosystem, and they look for me to answer all of their questions and all of their issues for iPhones and all things iPad, iPhones, and Apple related. So I have to have the latest and greatest. And the Next plan for me on AT&T just works perfect. If you're not in that type of plan, there's no compelling reason to go from a 6 to a 6S. Just having that 3D look-in feature where you press for the touch, it's, to me, there's no excitement there. There's no features that I've started using already. The multitask, it's fine. It looks different when you're flipping between your apps that are running. There's nothing really compelling that I can tell you to go get the 6S. If you're on a two-year plan, just wait it out for the iPhone 7, which will be out next October, end of September, October. And there you'll find probably more significant changes. So that's my advice. Unless you're on a plan where it allows you to upgrade every year, don't upgrade. It's just not worth it. The features are fine, but there's nothing exciting at all. I downloaded last night the new OS X El Capitan 10.11 for my iMac. It was over 6 gigs to download. So I started that and then went to bed, came back in the morning and started the upgrade when I was here making some phone calls before I headed out to my first appointment today and did the upgrade. And the upgrade went smooth, took about a half hour on my iMac. Again, there's nothing compelling. They made some subtle changes. The font changed and there's a list of some changes that they made. Again, it's free. Might as well upgrade. It's not going to hurt anything. My biggest worry is the apps that I use, like Soundbite. I use Office, Microsoft Office 2016. They're working perfectly. So I quickly tested all the core apps that I need to run, especially for tonight's show. It's always risky. I broke my golden rule here on Thursday. I have it basically in my home office here. Any day that I'm doing a podcast that night, it is taboo to do any updates. I won't do any Windows updates. I try not to do any Mac updates because I try to not have any self-inflicted wounds that can cause harm to being able to broadcast my show. The first thing I did when I realized when I started the install of El Capitan on my iMac, which is what you hear all of the drop-ins. If I play music or voicemail or the intro and the outro of the podcast all come from my iMac, which is patched into my mixer. So as I'm doing this, I'm like, oh, I'm shaking my head. I'm like, why am I doing this on a Thursday? I always save that for the weekend and never do it on a Thursday, but I couldn't help myself. I did it. I crossed my fingers and everything worked out fine. Let's get on to all of these great emails. And I have a lot of emails, so let's get in there. And of course, you know, there's going to be some Windows 10 tips and questions. We can't have a show go by without something about Windows 10. And that is starting to consume my consulting right now. Let me digress for a moment here. I realized something a couple weeks ago that I can combine two upgrades for a client and compel them to perform these updates to be able to make some money. Here's the double upgrade that I'm recommending where it's in my control. If you have an older computer, let me clone your drive to an SSD, which will make your system significantly faster, which we've talked about many times. That is the secret sauce to performance of any computer. It's an SSD. So let's do the SSD, and then I will perform the upgrade for you to Windows 10. That's going to take a lot of time. So we've got like 2 or 3 billable hours easy per system. Maybe I can do 2 at the same time. And I've trained my son, Michael Jr., is becoming the local Windows 10 guru. And now he can put SSDs in and he's learning the hardware, which is just great. Given that, the two of us are going to attack not only existing clients, but taking on new business. And it's a great way of generating more revenue and make it compelling to do the upgrade. I'm just offering this and talking about this because if you're looking for a revenue stream in your consulting business or your repair business, this is a great way to leverage that. Get a $100 256 gig drive. Make the investment in Acronis for cloning. There's nothing like it to have a USB and to be able to clone a drive. If you connect the SSD to a SATA connection inside the system with the existing hard drive, the clone takes 8 minutes. It's a thing of beauty. And once we do that, we see that everything's running and working. Now perform the Windows 10 upgrade. Go get the Windows 10 Media Creator and build 64-bit Windows 10, 64-bit Windows 10 Pro. That's it. They're the only choices you need. And don't worry about the big download. Do it on a USB. Something that came up in the chat here is I should make a video of all of this. That would be great, especially if setting up Windows 10. As a matter of fact, I might do that. And you might even see a joint video with my son and I because he's become pretty good with Windows 10 now. I can send him out and confidently take care of Windows 10, and especially doing the lockdown of the security and the security changes that are needed on Windows 10. It's very important, and this is how you have to position yourself. Your clients are going to think they can just click on that little icon and do the upgrade and it's magic. Well, it doesn't happen that way, as we know. And I had several systems here last week when I was recording this show that were the efforts of clients who did not listen to me, did it themselves, and almost bricked their computers because they didn't listen to me. It's not as easy. It may go easy for some people. That's wonderful. But it's not going to happen to everyone. You must learn. You don't take the express settings. You do custom and you turn everything off. And I've reviewed this. And if you listen to the past shows and all my Windows 10 tips, you know how to handle upgrading to Windows 10. And we're going to get into some issues here on some more email. But I just wanted to share, I always get emails, Mike, I don't have the business, I don't have the clients, how can I make more money, how can I do it? Well, here you go. Learn how to put SSDs in, make sure you got your process down for cloning, and learn Windows 10. It is here to stay. Everybody's going to be upgrading because it's free. You have to learn it. You have to know it. You take one of your systems, you make sure you do it, and then do it again. Redo the system. Practice, practice, practice. You're going to run into things that you've never ran into, so you use Google when you search for those issues that you run into. Have a system down, have a process down, and you're going to make money. This is from Robert. Hard drive issues. Hi, Mike. I have a client a few days ago that has a Dell XPS that has a 256 gig mSATA SSD hard drive. She bought a 1 terabyte Samsung Evo SSD hard drive, and she also has a 3 terabyte mechanical hard drive. She wanted the installation of Windows on the 1 terabyte hard drive and did not want to lose any of the programs and data. This is a Windows 8.1 machine. I booted the Acronis 2013 disk, cloned the 256 gig mSATA drive to the 1 terabyte SSD. Okay, but I recommend the 2015 Acronis. I don't know if there's any issues between 13 and 15, but I would certainly want the latest, greatest Acronis version. When I went to boot the system, would blue screen, even after I pulled out the mSATA SSD, and was not sure how to fix the issue, so I decided to try a utility called BootRec. I booted to Windows 8 installation disk and went to the repair options screen and selected command prompt. From the command prompt, I ran the following: /bcd rebuild, then /fixmbr, and /fixboot. I usually don't run these commands unless Windows 8.1 gives a blue screen of death BCD error. After I was done, I rebooted and Windows loaded perfectly from the 1 terabyte SSD. Originally, I had tried to use the system image program that comes with 8.1, but it set the drive as a 256 gig drive, and I could not resize the drive, C, because it put the recovery partition between the drive C partition and the unallocated space. With Acronis, it resized the partition automatically. Thanks for the great show, Robert. Robert, I like that tip on using the BootRec command and how it fixed your problem. But he makes a valid point here, and it's why I use Acronis, because I can go from one size to another. And what I like is going the reverse size. I've been cloning a 1 terabyte drive down to 256 because they're not using the space. And this just happened literally yesterday. I'm at a client. They have a 1 terabyte drive. We're adding an SSD. And what I did, I used Acronis because he only was using 100 gig of the terabyte. I cloned it to the 256, made the 256 bootable. Then we have the 1 terabyte as the extra drive for space, and it worked perfectly. 8 minutes, the clone, it booted. You got to remember to go in the BIOS and make the change on which drive you want to boot from. So first I boot from the USB, which is the Acronis built USB. Then perform the clone, which is a piece of cake. Then before the actual final reboot, I go into the BIOS and I flip which drive I want to boot from. Everything worked great. I did run into one problem a couple weeks ago where there was an issue reading from the source drive because there must have been bad sectors on the source drive. And you get a very detailed message saying you should run check disk. And I was like, wow, okay. So I flipped, rebooted back into the regular drive, ran a check disk slash F. So that means you have to reboot and fix, and it fixes itself, fixes the sectors. Everything got fixed. Then rebooted again into my USB for Acronis, then performed the clone, and it worked good. So beware if you're cloning and you have trouble from reading the source drive, that could be an issue. This is from John. New PC. Hi, Mike. I purchased FABS Auto Backup, and I have a question. The My Documents, My Music, etc. folders are on or for pointing to a different drive. I did this when I installed an SSD. How do I transfer these files to a new PC and have them on a different drive on the new PC, just like the old one? I always use your link for Amazon. Thanks for the podcast. That is perfect. What we're going to do, I'm going into Auto Backup for 6 Pro. And if you click Backup, then you pick your which account you want. You select your user. You pick where you're going to go. When you click Next, you get a list of users' data. Then you got public data, extra files and folders, and optional items. Pick extra files and folders. Check the box for additional folders, and it lights up every single drive that's readable on the system. Now go to your second drive, open up the arrow, and pick the My Documents. Now, when you are restoring, if you have the same drive letters in place, you can pick Restore to the original location or pick a new location. But this is how we add extra files and folders in FABS Auto Backup. FABS will not find those My Documents and the My Pictures in that separate location that you picked. But having that extra files and folders feature gives you that option to just pick anything at that point. That's how you would handle that. John, thanks for the question. This is from Ben. Hi, Mike. Longtime listener. I finally bit the bullet and purchased the technician's license for SIW and just downloaded. What is your approach for running SIW remotely on a system, but ensure your license copy isn't retrieved once deleted off the remote system? I need to inventory a bunch of systems remotely, and I just wanted to make sure I don't leave any remains for someone else to use. Do you run a file eraser or something like that, which could take a very long time to remove the possibility of retrieval? You know, boy, that's going to the extreme. And let me continue here. I know I sound a bit paranoid, but after all, it's my license and I want to play it safe. Any thoughts or process you use would be appreciated. Here's the thing. On SIW, which you know I love, the best thing to do, if you're not doing it remotely, is I keep it on my USB stick. I have my son with it on his USB stick. We go around and we run SIW on every single system for any new client. That's a given. That's something I run. And now I have that report and I bring it back into my database of client info here on my main system. Now, when I do it remotely, that means I'm already in on instant house call. And if I'm connected via instant house call and I'm running SIW, I don't go through that extreme. I delete it. My client won't even know it's there. 99.999999% of my clients will never know that I put a utility on and deleted it. They're not going to go through and undelete and look for something that I might have installed. Ben, I think you are a little too paranoid. I know you want to protect your license, and that's great. I'm sure SIW appreciates that. But I make an SIW directory. I run it. And then after I run it, I copy the HTML back to me when I'm doing this remotely. And then I delete the directory. There's just no way one of my clients is going to go to that effort and even know to be able to uninstall or resurrect that deleted directory, I wouldn't worry about it. I really wouldn't. I think you're overthinking it. Relax. This is from Gordon, a Windows update snafu. Hi, Mike. Hope everything is well with you. Wondering if you or your listeners have come across this little gem of a critical Windows update seen on Windows 7 Ultimate. And it is a language update named, and it's this really, really long gibberish. My Google turned up one result from Bleeping Computer with a link to Microsoft's answer section with no reply as of yet. Might be worth warning your listeners about, unless your crystal ball knows something I do not. Always keep up with the great work, and I look forward to the next Mike Tech Show. Gordon, this is why I love doing this show live. Kate's in the chat, and she says, Microsoft announced yesterday that this update was a mistake. So there we go. That's excellent. Thank you very much for that update, Kate. This is from Steve. Thank you for answering my Windows 10 questions. I've decided to stay with Windows 7 since I only use my laptop for the AV and telephone programming. New question. I already have a separate hard drive next to my iMac running Apple Time Machine. I want to run a second backup program, ChronoSync, unless you have another recommendation. No, actually, ChronoSync is the recommended synchronization program for the Mac, on a different drive located as far away from my iMac as possible in my house. I already have Cat5e at this location. What do you think of an Ethernet disk drive as a way to accomplish this? And are there any reasonably priced units you recommend? Thanks again for your great show. I have another idea. Put an inexpensive USB. Why not put a router that we disable all of the routing features and just connect the Ethernet and get an inexpensive router that has a USB port and then hang a drive off that USB and then sync, create a share and sync. Just a thought off the top, just popped into my head as a possibility for inexpensive. What you're describing, though, is an inexpensive NAS. And from your emails, you don't mind building something. Why not a free NAS device and hang it off of Ethernet? Take an old computer, download and put free NAS on it, and now you got your storage that you're looking for. Now you got a cheap system with some cheap drives, and have that via Ethernet. Search Amazon for inexpensive NAS devices. And that's what you want. You want a one drive NAS that's got an Ethernet port, and you might find a special on one. Everybody listening out there, if you have a recommendation for one, I'll put it in the show notes next week, or even this show, if you can get to the email to me in time. But look for an inexpensive Ethernet disk. I don't have one off the top of my head. I just wanted to give you some options out there to think out of the box rather than just a regular drive. This is from Dennis. Hi, Mike. I know you have talked enough about Windows 10, and it's probably getting old. We're going to be talking about Windows 10 for a very long time. But just wanted to share a link with you that might help some users and listeners to find a lot of things hidden and the settings and shortcuts. Check out the PDF that I attached, which you can find a download link to the PDF and words from Microsoft's website. I will have that link. Check it out. And thank you, Dennis, for that. This is from Robert, Windows 10. Here is a tip in Windows 8.1 and Windows 10. If you hold down the Windows key and X key, you will bring up a menu that will let you access features such as programs and features, control panel, device manager, power options, and a few other tools. Kate also wrote in recommending that with my Windows 10 problem. That did not work. I actually tried that, and I was very, very lucky that right-clicking on the start menu brought up the menu that allowed me to get to control panel, or then I was in real trouble. I appreciate that, and Robert, that is a great tip. We often forget that the Windows key and X and Windows key R to be able to run something, I always use those. They're great tips. I don't know if the Windows key wasn't working right for me because, it did work afterwards, but there was something funky going on with the initial install on that Surface where I had to get into another profile in order to do Windows updates, and then everything got fixed. He continues, also, on Asus computers, I have noticed that if you do not do the latest BIOS updates, Windows 10 will not work properly. Great show as always. Robert, thank you. And you know what? Right behind me is an Asus laptop getting ready for a Windows 10 install this weekend. And you bring up a great point. I am going to look at the latest, greatest BIOS and make sure I update it before I do the Windows 10 install. Thank you. Great tips here tonight. This is Andrew. Mike, going to ask a ridiculous question. Just purchased an HP laptop with Windows 8.1, and I immediately upgraded to Windows 10. Here are my questions. 1. HP laptops come with no backup software. There is a website to download one-time-only recovery disk. However, I believe that will be Windows 8.1. Should I download Windows 10 ISO and burn to a DVD? Yes, actually download the Windows 10 Media Creation Tool. I've had it in my show notes a few shows ago. I'm going to put that again in this week's show notes because it's that important. You have the choice to make a bootable USB or a bootable DVD, and you can do it for the 32-bit or the 64-bit, the regular version or the pro version. It gives you that option, that one toolkit. I love it. And that's all you need, because once you upgrade to Windows 10, the key is stored up in Microsoft land for your system, so you don't have to worry anytime you want to redo your system. You can do a clean install with that USB or that DVD, and you're set. As a matter of fact, I sometimes don't like the manufacturer's recovery disks because they're going to put all that bloatware back on and all that junk and all those custom HP and Dell software that we don't want. I would rather naturally build it from scratch. My recommendation is have a bootable USB for the version of Windows 10 that you installed. Then have another USB stick with all the drivers, all the Windows 10 drivers, and all your printer drivers and all the devices you plug in. Keep that maintained on a separate USB, and now you are ready to recover at any time. Now, make sure you have a backup of your data. Even if you're using the free SyncBack program to be able to sync your software, or, you know, there's tons of backup utilities and programs out there. Make sure you're backing up, even if it's the default Windows backup program that originally came with Windows 7. That's available in Windows 10. So you can perform a backup to an external drive. If you do that and you build those two USB sticks the way I told you, you're set. That's all you need for your system. Question 2. I also created a repair disk for Windows 10 on a desktop built from one of Carrie's videos. Is the repair disk compatible on any Windows 10 Home Edition, or as those repair disks PC specific? Windows repair disks are not PC specific. They are 32-bit and 64-bit specific. In the Windows 7 world, I have a Windows 7 32-bit and a Windows 7 64-bit. I don't believe there's a difference from pro to regular. That could be. So to be safe, you might need a home and a pro version but with Windows 10 only because I haven't tested it. It wouldn't hurt, but it's not machine specific. This is from Mark, and it's about Microsoft Edge. I'd like to share an issue I recently experienced with Microsoft Edge. Edge is the new browser that comes with Windows 10. My client called me to say that a fake virus message appeared while she was using Microsoft Edge, warning her that her PC was infected and instructing her to call the number on her screen. When I arrived, the message was still there and she couldn't close Edge. Control-Alt-Delete soon took care of that. I ran my usual scans with Malwarebytes, Adware Cleaner, Junkware Removal Tool, and TDS Killer, which detected and removed a bunch of malware. However, when I opened Microsoft Edge, this message was still there. I couldn't access the More Actions Settings button in the top right-hand corner of Edge as the message had hijacked the entire window. I decided to use the Windows search window to search for Microsoft Edge settings to see if I could access these settings another way. When I clicked on the search the web result, a new uninfected instance of Edge opened, which allowed me to access More Actions settings and clear browsing data. I clicked choose what to clear, checked all of the options, and clicked clear. I closed Microsoft Edge, relaunched it from the taskbar to find the fake message gone. My client told me that she'd prefer to use Internet Explorer, so I unpinned Edge from the taskbar and pinned Internet Explorer in its place, as IE was what she was browsing with prior to upgrading to Windows 10. I hope this may be of help to your listeners. Keep up the great work. Regards, Mark. Mark, thank you very much. This is a typical problem that happens where people are trying to scam the users into giving a credit card or calling that number. It's all about the money. Good tips on how to fix that. And you're doing exactly what I am recommending. I unpin Edge and I find the original Internet Explorer EXE. I launch it and then pin it to the toolbar, because all my clients are used to the traditional IE and not the new Edge. Not bashing the new Edge browser at all. It's just different. And different is sometimes a problem for a lot of my clients. So we try to keep different to a minimum. That is it for tonight's show. The next 2 weeks, I will not be able to record on Thursday night. So next week, look for me recording either on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. That would be the 6th and 7th. I'm not sure which night yet. Then the following week, I won't be able to do a show on the 15th. Most likely, it'll be the 16th. We'll do a Friday night show. We'll have lots of fun. And maybe I'll do it late. We'll do a late show on Friday night, maybe like 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern time, since it's the weekend. Remember to please continue to use my Amazon link, and I thank all of you who are using that. If you buy from Amazon or know anybody buying from Amazon, please use the link amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the Mike Tech Show, and I really appreciate that so much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.